Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
According to Jeff Passan, of course, of ESPN, the Padres are getting Mason Miller and J.P. Sears from the A's. So there's a big name that we're talking about potentially with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And he is off the board going to the Padres. I'm actually a little surprised that he got traded. Now you ask, naturally, what's the return? The A's are getting the number 3 overall prospect in baseball, shortstop Leodalis DeVries, I guess is how you say his name. But either way, he's a number 3 prospect.
All of baseball
correct.
Number
so that's,
3.
So that's tough to compete with right there. It makes you understand a little bit why the A's were willing to give Miller up. And they get 3 pitchers. So not only the number 3 prospect overall, 3 pitchers for fire-throwing reliever Mason Miller as the National League continues to get stronger. Now, Buster only of ESPN, saying that Robert Suarez and Dylan Cease are now likely to be on the move, that the Padres got Mason Miller.
Yep, and that could open up a door for Cease to maybe become a Yankee. I mean, I guess maybe it's inconceivable. Yeah, or Suarez, inconceivable that one of them could be a Met as well. I don't know. Yeah, there's still some good names out there, although the big relief arms are obviously drying up quick here. Alcantara's out there. You know, if you're a Zach Gallen fan, that's out there. Mitch Keller. Dylan C. Suarez, let's see, Brandon Lau, Stephen Kwan, Mackenzie Gore, Joe Ryan, Brent Rooker. So
there's another Griffin Jacks, I think was a name that
that's another
John
one.
Heyman had him as a back end option for the Yankees, Griffin Jacks.
Minnesota, right? Wait, where's Jacks at? He's Minnesota, yes. I believe he's a twin. So there's still some names out there. There's still some holes to fill. And, you know, listen, if the Yankees would have landed Ryan McMahon yesterday and would have delivered a third baseman, Ryan McMahon's been pretty good. Maybe the energy around what the Yankees are not doing would be a little less quiet, but I don't think that it should be. I mean, the Yankees have to get some bullpen arms. I don't know what in the world they are thinking. I don't know what in the world they're holding on to. I know that you can't just make a desperation move, but and there's always going to be a Yankees tax. But you better find a way to circumvent some of that stuff and get a couple of arms here. Otherwise, Yanks got no shot.
All right, but think about it. Even if they did get a couple of those arms, do you really think that this team is outside? I don't want to hear the American League is weak and the playoffs, anything could happen.
Uh-huh.
Do you really think this Yankee team is worth investing in?
I do, but I think it's got to be. I would also sell some pieces, but I won't convolute it there. My answer is yes, I do, because you're going to run into a situation in all probability, where you trot out, you know, a top 3 pitcher in the American League and a top 5 pitcher in baseball and Max Fried in the opener of a playoff game. You can follow that up with Rodon if you want, which I wouldn't do, but you could certainly do it with Luis Gil and then bump Rodon to 3. That's one thing you can do. Now, I'd feel a little bit more emboldened if, you know, Williams didn't give up a 2-run bomb last night to blow the lead.
That's one issue.
But he has been good for a long time.
I get it, but it just shows you, like, even the guys that you trust in the bullpen or that they're relying on in the bullpen.
Even Mariano blew a couple, but I don't trust him because he hasn't done it in New York
never,
yet.
I would never trust William. I didn't even like him, honestly, coming into the year after what happened in the postseason. It's not that he's not good, and I think he's been okay, certainly for a long stretch after the rough start, but you trust him in the postseason. I don't. And even worse, to me, Volpe an issue at short, his defense. And look at Austin Wells. It's not like, how does this keep happening? Dude, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I've never seen that.
A guy walking off of second base as if the inning was over in a late tight game?
I've seen some bizarre things, and I forget who it was, but I've seen it a few times where an outfielder catches a ball, and he thinks it's the third out, and he flips it in the stands. Like some of the
happens, yeah.
I've never seen a base runner, and I was watching the game with my son. I'm like, that's just unforgivable. Like, think about the checkpoints as a, this is not playing at some field with no scoreboard. You know, you are a major league. You're number one, so you should know what the hell's going on. Number one, when you're on first base, your first base coach is telling you what the deal is. Number two, there's a scoreboard the size of a building right in front of you in center field. Look up and find out how many outs there are. There's umpires at every base. Ask them if you can't read. I mean, that's just ridiculously unforgivable. But just to, you know, put the bow on the question that you asked me, Are they worth investing in? The answer is yes, because you only have so many more years of Aaron Judge's prime. So I could just put that out there, and that's reason enough to do stuff, but you still shouldn't do stupid stuff like giving away Spencer Jones or giving away Lombard. Dominguez, I'm more open to trading for somebody that I think has some value and some controllability. But I mean, if he's not doing, like, he has, there's no way. You don't think that there's a situation that Brian Cashman does nothing today, do you?
No, but I don't think that they're going to be, I can't take him seriously. Because I don't think that, I want either all in or sell. I don't like to half-wing it. And I understand why teams could say they could half-wing it, especially the Yankees, because they are the Yankees, because if they get in the postseason, to your point, they have Freed, they have Judge, anything could happen. I look at this team, and I don't think they're that good, and I think they need upgrades. Now, could they be potentially saved with the right moves? Sure, be aggressive. I told you the move that I wanted yesterday, Stephen Kwan. Go get Kwan, then I'll take you seriously. Regardless of, now, I don't know what the return would be. I'm assuming it's going to be significant, but go get Kwan for starters. Then you obviously have to add a legitimate bullpen arm. There still are some top arms available. Other teams are doing it. Are the Yankees in it, or are they not? And I feel like they're like, we'll see. That's not going to get it done. I would be surprised if they didn't make a move. I don't think it's going to be the moves that are necessary to make them legitimate World Series teams.
Well, listen, here's my opinion. I mean, they've got to do stuff. I believe that they will do stuff. And if they don't, then my opinion and my reaction tomorrow would change dramatically.
Well, is Griffin Jacks enough for you?
I need a little bit more than that. I mean, I don't think that they'll make the Kwan move, but Kwan could be out there. Alcantara could be out there. Bedard, I mean, there's other moves to be made Pirates.
Yeah.
So Jacks for the Twins. Yeah. I mean, he's got what? 7 hours or whatever it is to make this happen. He better make something happen.
BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Mad Mike is in Charlotte. What's up, Mad Mike?
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, what's going on, buddy?
This keeps happening.
Yeah, it does happen.
Neil's in Brooklyn. Neil?
BT and Sal, how's it going, fellas?
Good, what's up?
Hey, Neil. How are you, buddy?
Sal, obviously loving the moves. Mets had to bolster the bullpen. But what I'm really loving more and what I think is the biggest difference between this regime and the Freddie Coupons days is the idea that we are developing talent at the major league level while simultaneously trying to go for it. I love that. You see Mauricio getting reps. Obviously, Beatty, Vientos, Acuna, all of them are getting major league reps while we're trying to win. And I feel like that's the mark of a franchise going in the right direction.
Yeah, well, that's not the plan, though, Neil. And thank you for the call. Mauricio was never the plan. Guys got hurt, and Mauricio was a necessity. Also, Mark Vientos has done nothing this year. So they, out of necessity, had to give Mauricio an opportunity. There was some thought that even he was going to get sent down when guys started to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully, they stuck with him, and he's rewarding them by being a nice player at the bottom of their order. And you could live with it when the other guys are doing what they're doing. But the plan wasn't like, oh, yeah, let's develop all these guys. No, they're trying to fix that and clean it up. I think Mauricio is going to be their third baseman the rest of the way. I would not be surprised if they cleaned up this glut of infielders ahead of today's 6 p.m. deadline.
I think they have to. I think it would be foolish not to. I think they know that. You can't play 10 guys, you know, it's not softball with a short center fielder and behind second base. So they'll make some more moves, but I get his point about the younger players, even if it wasn't fully the plan, getting live reps in a pennant race. And, you know, if you're a good organization, which they've obviously become and they're getting there, the better the infrastructure, the easier it is to say, all right, we trust, even though Lindor's not hitting, we trust Lindor, we got Soto, we got Pete, McNeil's a pro, we got this, We can play this kid a little bit. That's why, and again, it's not apples to apples, but that's why it was easier for Jeter in 96 to just ascend to the starting shortstop, because they had a lot of veteran players who did their job well. The worst situation is, like, if these were the old Mets and you throw Mauricio out there and they're just a train wreck of a franchise, or Beatty, it might ruin them. But I think that it's kind of elevated them and accelerated their growth.
Maybe, but I can even argue that because they're not getting consistent playing time with Beatty or Acuna, then what are they going to be? Are they going to be part-time players? The Mets have already made their decision on them. Honestly, I don't care. I'm not worried about those guys. I'm not worried right now about the development. And you can call and say, yeah, it's nice to do both. The last thing I am concerned about at the major league level is developing players. That's what I've got on the Yankees for. I don't want to see Volpe develop here or Dominguez develop here. I want to see them here and produce here. If Mauricio wasn't producing, I'd want him out. If Vientos was, you know, he's obviously beyond like a prospect now. You know what he is.
Yeah.
Beatty, same thing. Beatty not contributing, get him out. And we've kind of made our decision on what Beatty's going to be. He could be a serviceable decent player. He's not going to be the everyday third baseman, or at least not, in my opinion, on a championship team. Acuna at least contributes defensively and with his speed late in games. That's fine. So there's a contribution level to the major league team that can help them at times. If not, then send him down. I'm worried about the major league team and how they're going to win as many games as possible, not worrying about developing guys at the major league level.
Well, I understand that, but I also think there's something to be said. Like, think about Vientos. Now, Vientos is not having a good year, but his path, obviously, they didn't really believe in him. You're in Syracuse. Hell, he comes up for the expansion of the roster, hits a home run. The next day, they send him down last year. Like, there was no belief, I don't think, internally of him. Beatty, obviously, has had multiple chances and multiple, you know, setbacks in terms of going back to AAA, and he's kind of coming out a little stronger on the other side. Now, Mauricio has a major glitch in his game, and he's going to have to learn how to hit that off-speed pitch a lot better. But the fact that he's starting to show some signs after looking utterly inept doing that early, to me, there's growth. So the Mets are winning, and these other young players are getting some experience against talent that you just don't see in AAA.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Sal's calling from North Carolina. What's up, Sal?
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I think I'm not saying Volpe's a Gold Glover. But, you know, Goldie could have had that the other day, and Rice should have had it yesterday. And I do like Rice, but I think that's only two in 1 week.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what was happening from April, May, and June.
Well,
so you take away a few more, and it's a lot less. And you see Alonso over there. He saves Lindor and the second baseman a lot. He gives those balls out of the dirt.
Yeah, but Sal, here's a couple things. And this came up yesterday on the show, and thanks for the call. It's a fair point. But number one, yeah, I mean, when you have a great defensive first baseman like Donnie, like Keith, I mean, Pete's very good picking the ball. Teixeira was phenomenal. Catch the freaking baseball. I mean, Tino was great at that as well for a righty. But it's not their job, even though you'd like it to be part of their job description, to save Anthony Volpe's worm burners. Anthony Volpe is responsible. Now, I just defended him, you know, very passionately last segment to an extent with certain things. But I got to call for what it is. Throw the ball in the chest, dude. You're not in the hole like Jeter jumping into the air and throwing it across the diamond. These are routine plays. And I also think, Sal, that, you know, the Sal that just called, not Sal, my partner, but Sal in Carolina, and when you talk about how they could have saved a few, what about the five or six or seven that they've already saved him on this year? So, yes, he could have fewer than the errors that he has. He could also have a lot more if those guys didn't save him the first couple of months.
And what I would say is, one, Volpe takes blame for the bad throws.
Yep.
Two, the first baseman got to be better defensively as well.
I agree with that. Well, Rice, can you pick one?
Oh, but
at least I've seen Goldschmidt pick some.
Well, Goldschmidt has been proven to be a terrific defender, which is part of the appeal of bringing him in. The bloom is off the rose here with Goldschmidt, by the way, as was somewhat predictable.
Well, like, that's why I said I wanted to sell them 2-3 weeks ago.
But that was nuts. You're not going to get anything for him.
I don't need anything for him. I'll put Bellinger at first base.
Part of why the Yankees won him is because of his defense, all veteran bad. He started out on fire. Everybody's taking their bows. Oh, we want a Goldschmidt. We want a Goldie. Well, now what?
He's still better than Rizzo, though.
I honestly believe you could have been better than Rizzo.
I could pick that.
Year.
I would have made that play the other night. That's the one thing I could do.
And then my point about Rice is, well, what do you expect? He's not...
He's not first baseman by trade.
He's not a good defensive player.
Yeah.
Like, he's now their backup catcher. He's not a good catcher. And he's not a good first baseman. He's a DH by trade. It's similar with Vientos. I don't like the theory of young guys that don't have a spot. Now, luckily, with the DH, you know, being universal, maybe you could find a spot for these guys. And obviously, you want Ben Rice's bat in the lineup. And let's not make it like he's hitting 350 either. I mean, you know, Ben Rice is a threat when he's up there.
Yep.
He's not some superstar offensive player just yet. So we tend to hold on to the flashes. Dominguez, Volpe, whoever, Vientos, Acuna, you pick a player. Rice, you hold on to the flashes. And there is certainly upside with a lot of these guys. But forget the flashes and look at what's been the constant. And the constant has just not been good enough. End of story for the majority of these young players.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when that's an interesting way to look at it, like holding on to the flashes. Yeah, I think we've done that for so long.
Like, Dominguez
I mean,
made a great play last night in left field.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I heard, I was watching the postgame show, and Curry's, and he's on TV now as well. So, but he's a straight shooter. Like, he's not a Yankee apologist. And so I thought the same thing. Like, it was a good catch. I don't know if it was an all-time amazing catch. And
for him, it was like a great catch.
True. I was like, that's fair. It's like Griffey scaling the wall for him the way he's looked in left field lately. But Curry gave last night a statistic that it was a 95% catch probability, which struck me as almost unfair to the catch. Like, all right, I'm not saying it was a 10%.
Seemed better than that, though.
I mean, maybe, what, tell me, 70, 68, 73. All right, 95%. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying he took the most direct route. But the flashes that we hold on to, we've done that. Greg Jeffries, we did that. Yeah, name a prospect coming up, we've done it. Because you almost have to, because at least a flash gives you a potential ceiling. But there's also a shelf life on that. I mean, if you get the flash and then it flickers out and it doesn't come back, well, now you kind of are that player more than you're not.
Like, you could say that with Vientos. And that's the challenge in the front office. It's something that I've been critical of Brian Cashman for, is he'll ride it out. Patience, 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 patience. Ride it out until Torres is a free agent and see you later. Or whatever. Okay, guy's contract is up. See you later. Whereas I hope David Stearns is not that patient. And where he sees Vientos and says, yeah, there was incredible flashes a year ago. He's one of the Mets' best players. Offensive performer. Right up there with Lindor, who was a candidate to win the MVP. Regular season, postseason, whatever. But was it a flash in the pan? Was that the anomaly? That's a gamble he might be willing to take, saying, you know what, I don't believe in what he did last year as being sustainable, and I'm going to trade him now and not just sit here and wait. How long do you wait it out? Okay, this year, maybe this year was the aberration, so bring him back next year. And then what happens if he starts slow again next year? Is it, yeah, but 2 years ago.
Well, now he's got no value at that point.
Oh, well, that's another part of it, too. So even with Luis Robert, who we bring up before, okay, well, yeah, he had a big season or two, whatever it was, and now you hold on to that.
Yep.
Like, there's obviously circumstance around it. There are no other center fielders, so is it worth it, when you talk about from the Mets' perspective, to get Robert and hope that maybe he could regain some of that, or just go get Bader or Mullins, and you know what their floor and ceiling are?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways they could go. Listen, I also think with somebody like Robert, and to a lesser extent, Cedric Mullins, unlike Vientos, you know, if they're 0-for-4, they could still impact the game. Vientos will not. So that should be part of the evaluation. I know we've got a ton of calls we want to get to. BT and Sal, real quick, 6:01 tonight is, in your opinion, gut. Vientos on the team, yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
I think he's going to be traded too.
Maybe my gut, I don't know, maybe my gut says yes, but my, like, I want them to clean this up. And I feel like if he is traded, it's not going to be for Robert. Although maybe it is. I honestly don't know. I'm hoping that there's a bigger package, that they get Brandon Lau from the Rays and he would be a part of that and kind of clean up, like we talk about, that abundance of infielders. One last one before we break. The Padres, is according to Buster Olney, Padres have had extensive talks with the Red Sox about Jaron Duran. Sox keep saying no. And what the Guardians about, and the Padres have had talks with the Guardians about Stephen Kwan. Some rival execs fully expect the Padres to land one of the two by the end of the day.
Wow.
Now, we could sit here and say, hey, congrats to Stearns and Cohen and going all in getting a bullpen. You mentioned the Phillies with getting Duran.
Yeah.
Dude, the Padres getting Miller.
Seattle's made some nice moves.
But I'm talking about from a national perspective with the Mets. Yep. If the Padres get Miller and then potentially Kwan or Duran, like, and they're loaded as it is. Yeah. They just swept the Mets. They made them look, I mean,
this is a good time. This is fun.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about: golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.